Well, good morning, everybody. It is sweet to my soul to be here with you this morning. We had eight folks that you just saw receive believer's baptism. We had one other this morning. We had nine folks get baptized this morning. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. How sweet is it, I got to tell you, to be a part of a body where there's life, where people are receiving Jesus Christ, where people are following him in obedience. This is the good stuff, and it's my joy to be with all of y'all this morning. Somebody has said for a long time now that a picture's worth a thousand words. I got a few quick pics for you. Here's lunch atop a skyscraper. This is from 1932. These fellas are 840 feet above the ground. Oh my goodness, it gives me the willies seeing that picture. Here's another one, it's called The Kiss. This is on VJ Day, 1945 in Times Square. And I learned, I've looked up, you can learn the history about this fellow. This fellow just passed not too long ago, and that girl was not his girlfriend, but anyway. Here's another one, this is from 1951. This is Albert Einstein on his birthday. Somebody was messing with him. He didn't like reporters messing with him a lot, and so it was his birthday, and somebody said, "Hey, Albert Einstein, give us a birthday smile," and he turned to the people near him and said, "I'm tired of this," and went, and they snapped a pic. Here's Martin Luther King Jr., in 1963, on the Mall in Washington, when he was about to give his I Have a Dream speech. Pretty big watershed moment for us as a nation. Here's one that you've probably not seen. I call it Bewildered Ballerina. I just want you to look at this picture. Look at the teacher's feet and look at the little girl's feet. I love this picture. That sweet little, oh, just what a cutie pie. She reminds me of my daughter Hannah in that picture, actually, who's now beautiful and 20 and... And then finally, here's one that everyone will recall, raising the flag at Ground Zero. The baptisms that you've just seen are a living picture. That's the whole point of physical water baptism, it's to be a living picture. So what is the picture that you've just seen declaring? If a picture is worth a thousand words, what is the living picture of baptism declaring? Well, we're going to look at a verse quickly in John chapter 5, and this is what I believe it's declaring. This is one way that we can talk about it. It's declaring death to life. Pastor John talked earlier about how baptism is this picture, right? Going down is the picture of death, and then coming up out of the water is a picture of new life. Death to life. Jesus in John chapter 5 had just healed a man on the Sabbath there in a synagogue. And some of the religious leaders who were hypocrites and self-righteous, they were challenging him. They were giving him a hard time, giving him a fit about the fact that he just healed on the Sabbath. And remember what Jesus said. He said, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? Well, of course it is. And, of course, that was under the Old Testament system. We're not under Sabbath law anymore, just to be clear here really quickly. But so he's got these people, these religious leaders, giving him a hard time in the aftermath of his healing. On a Sabbath, he said this. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word," so that's the beginning, but that's not the end. "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me," and we're going to see that word belief a lot in the message today, "and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." See, our normal thought about the way things work, the order of things is generally we live and then we die. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, we're all already alive, but in reality, he said that we're spiritually dead. It means spiritual death is this idea of, I don't have a relationship with the living God. I may have physical life, but spiritually, because of my sin, I cannot have relationship with a holy God. Because he's holy, which is the antithesis of my sinfulness, my very nature. Not just the things that I've done, but the attitudes of my heart. But he says that if we'll believe in him, then he'll raise us from death, spiritual death, and give us new life. That's the picture that baptism is screaming out. That's what that picture is declaring. There's a 50-cent word, a Bible word called justification. This is the word that really is kind of sums up this idea of death to life. It's justification. It's a big word. We're going to talk about it this morning. This is the third in our series on resurrection, right? We talked for 2 weeks, okay, so I'm calling the series Resurrection Accomplished and Applied. It was accomplished. We saw that 2 weeks ago. We saw that there were prophecies in the Old and New Testaments foretelling Jesus' resurrection from the grave, and that he fulfilled all those prophecies. Last week we saw that, plain and simple, it's true. That his resurrection is true. That he truly died. He really was dead. Not just mostly dead. He was truly dead and is raised up to new life. It's true. Thank you for smiling. You get my joke. Thank you. He was truly dead, not mostly dead. So starting this week, we're going to talk about the applied part. That was resurrection accomplished, but the applied part is bringing it home for you and for me. So today we're going to see that he was raised for our justification. Next week we're going to see that his resurrection is for our hope and faith. But justification, that's a big 50-cent word, and it means being declared righteous by God. And what that means is that the holy God, who I can't have anything to do with because of my sinfulness, being declared righteous means that God somehow in his own ability, on his own account, for his own glory, has overcome my sin, my transgression, in a way that only he could, and he by his own ability. And because of my faith in him, if I have turned to him in faith, he declares me righteous. And if God says it's so, then it's so. It means being declared righteous by the Heavenly Father means that he sees me as clean and as sinless as his own son, Jesus. Now, if you are already a follower of Jesus, if you've been in Jesus, especially for any amount of time, you may have fallen into a little bit of complacency here. I just tell you, it's trying to happen to me too. But the reality is, brothers and sisters in Jesus, this truth should wow us. It should wow us more today than it did when we first received him. The knowledge, the truth, the fact that holy God would take my sin problem out of the way so that I can now have a real face-to-face relationship with him. That is what it means to be justified or declared righteous. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, we are glad you're here. And I mean that sincerely. If you're not a follower of Jesus by faith, we are glad you're here. And I hope for nothing more than that what you catch today, that what you grab today, is that Jesus, by his holy, sinless life, death, burial, and resurrection, that he saves sinners like me, the guy speaking at the pulpit, and like everybody. Like he came to die and be raised up for sinners. And that's what it means to be justified, to let his death, burial, and resurrection be put to your account. And that's to be declared righteous. So if justification means being declared righteous by God, how? How on earth can that be? How can it work? Well, I love it. The verse that you shared, Pat, I think it's what you said. I think it's your verse, right? What's not possible with man is possible with God. So that's where we're going this morning. We're not going to take a long time, but that's where we're going to be heading this morning. Will you pray with me? And what I want to invite you to do is to bring your own heart, right? Sometimes we fall into the trap of, well, the pastor's praying, I sit here quietly, and, you know, I'm kind of maybe who knows where. What I want to do is invite you to join with me to seek the living God. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, I hope you pray with me. Lord, teach me, transform my life all the more through your resurrection that's for my justification. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, I invite you to call on him. And maybe you could pray something to the effect of, hey, Jesus, if you're real, or if this is true, will you show me? Will you draw me? Will you pray with me now? Father, we look to you this morning. Father, we look to you because you are God. You're the only God, and you are alive. And yet, Lord, you've declared that we, in and of ourselves, are dead. We have physical life, but we have separation from you. Lord, thank you that you have overcome that separation through Jesus. Lord, we pray today as we look at a few more scriptures here, as we have this beautiful picture. The picture of baptism is a physical living picture of something that's already happened in a soul, of death to life, of being justified by you, the only God who saves from sin. So, Lord, we pray. I pray for me and for each of us here today that you would transform us through your truth. Lord, that you would be reigning in us, that we would willingly move ourselves out of the throne of our lives. We lay down our pride and our selfishness that we all struggle with, and that we would let Jesus reign supreme with no second, no close second. Lord, help us now as we walk through your scriptures. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at just a few scriptures really quickly. We're going to start with Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, this is at the very end of Romans 4. And what's going on here is there's a picture that's being painted before this. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in this letter to the Roman believers, he's been talking about a fellow named Abraham, right? The great patriarch, the first Jew. And the picture that we see of Abraham that he's bringing to bear for these Roman believers is that Abraham believed God. And because of his belief in God, because he had faith in God, God credited that to him as righteousness. Abraham had sin. As a matter of fact, once we get back into our Genesis study, the very next thing we're going to see is a tough spot where Abraham doesn't make a good choice. Abraham wasn't righteous in and of his own self. But because he trusted the Lord, because he was willing to give over himself to the Lord, the Lord said that he credited that to him. In other words, he counted that to him as righteousness. And you know what? That's always been the way of salvation. From the Old Testament to the New, is that we place our faith in God himself to do what we could never do for ourselves. So that's what Abraham has done. And that's what's going on in the chapter leading up to these last two verses of the chapter. Here's Romans 4, verse 24. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, there's that idea again, right? So he's saying what God did with Abraham, he'll do with us if we'll believe in him. He'll credit our account. He'll make us righteous. He'll justify us. To whom it will be credited as those who believe in him. And that's the way we access this justification, is that we trust in Jesus. Who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now verse 25. He who was delivered over, this is speaking of Jesus, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So we're going to stop there for a quick minute. We've already talked a little bit about sin. So what's being said here plainly, this line about Jesus being given over, handed over, delivered over for our transgressions, it means that Jesus was put on a cross to pay for our sin. And if you think that sounds crazy, good. Because it should. That anybody would be willing to die for me, that's a pretty big deal. That the sinless Son of God would take my sin on himself, that is crazy. And that's what Jesus did. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of the gospel right there. So we read here that he was delivered over because of our transgressions. And then we read, and he was raised because of our justification. So here's what he's saying. He died on that cross for my sin, to take my sin upon himself, so that he could then offer me real life, eternal life, abundant life. He was raised up so that that new life could be put to my account, so that I could be declared righteous, which again, right, I've told you guys before, I'm going to remind you again, one of my profs in seminary, walk in the classroom before he said another word. He said, gentlemen, have you lost the wonder of it all? That Jesus has saved you. I hope I never forget that. Because sometimes I'm tempted to lose the wonder, to remember that I was a sinner lost. And folks, I was a sinner and I was lost. And Jesus came hunting for me. I wasn't looking for him. But he came and pulled me up out of the muck that I had made of my life. He came and sought me when I wasn't thinking of him. He was raised to offer me justification and you. And he paid all the cost. I get all the benefit. So let's look at one more verse. So that's Romans 4, 24 and 25. Now the very next verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 1, right? But remember, there were no chapter divisions and verse divisions when this was originally written. It's just a letter. So the very next thing the Holy Spirit says through Paul, he says, therefore, what's the therefore, you say? The therefore, he's saying, based on this justification that's by faith, based on the fact that he was buried, he was killed for my sin, he was put in the grave, and he was raised so that I could be offered a righteous standing before a holy God. Not on my own account, but on Jesus' account. He says, therefore, based on that, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my question. Do you have peace with God? Because God wants to be your peace. And if you don't have peace with God, let me tell you, you can. You can. But there's only one way. And it's through Jesus Christ. Nobody else paid for sin on the cross. Nobody else paid for my sin and your sin. There's one way, and it's a person. It's not a thing you do. It's entrusting yourself to a person. And that is the gospel, plain and simple. If you don't have peace with God, you can through Jesus Christ. Let's talk a little bit more about the gospel here, about this idea of justification. We're going to look at a few verses here in Romans 3 and Romans 6. So the gospel, the word gospel, our word gospel is from Old English. It means, Godspell means good news, okay? It means good news. But first, before we can talk about the good news, we've got to talk a little bit about the bad news, right? If I'm lost out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and there's not land for hundreds of miles, if I think I can swim hundreds of miles, I think I'm good to go. So if you were to offer me a life buoy, I'd say, what do I need that for? But if I understand my peril, right, if I understand the danger to my soul, well, now that makes that life ring look pretty desirable. But I've got to understand my danger. I've got to understand the danger that my soul is in first for that offer of salvation to be meaningful to me. So towards the end of Romans chapter 3, again, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, to these early believers in Rome, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. The guy speaking behind the pulpit, everybody sitting in a seat, everybody watching online, all means all, except for one. There's only one person who's walked on this planet who never sinned. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible makes it so clear that he was tempted in every way, just like we are, but without sin. But for you and for me, right, we're in this all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. That means we've all fallen short of God's standard. You know what a standard is? Himself. Again, you should be thinking, that's crazy. Yes, it is. For us sinners, the idea that we could somehow have relationship with holy God. Folks, I got to tell you, I am convinced I don't know a half of my sin. Sin is so much more than the things I do or the things that I say. It's the attitudes of my heart. That's where it all starts. That's where everything begins. And then what happens in my body, in my lips, in my feet, that's all just the outworking of what's going on in my heart. And that's where Jesus wants to work. That's what he wants to do. But I've fallen short of his standard. But then Paul goes on, verse 24, being justified. So how can I be justified? We're going back to this idea of justified. If I'm a sinner, I got to be justified. I got to be made righteous somehow. He says, being justified as a gift. Okay, a free gift. And there's nothing I can do to earn this gift. It's a free gift. Justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. There's a free gift that the Lord Jesus Christ is offering every human being. And it's himself. And it's what he did on the cross. He's offering himself. And when you and I turn away from our sin, when we turn away from ourself to trust in Jesus Christ, based on our faith in him, he declares us righteous. He justifies us. And he was raised up so that he could do that. Let's go to Romans 6:23. Again, towards the end of this particular chapter, we read some more about this idea of sin. We're still in the bad news part of it. We're going to get to the good news, I promise. But we've got to understand the bad news. We've already read that we've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. We've all come short of the standard of perfect holiness. How could we be anything other? Our nature, the nature that we have when we're conceived is a sinful nature. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is? That's what you earn. That's what you deserve. And this death isn't just physical death. It means that because of our sin and our sinful state, We're separate from God. That is death. That is death, much greater than a physical death. But that's the bad news. We're all sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve death. Not just physical death, but even spiritual death, and that means hell. It's not a word that's real popular today. Jesus talked about it, so we got to. But now comes the good news, right? Now we know just how bad the bad news is, how dire our state is. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift, what I earn, what I deserve because of my sin is death, separation from God for eternity. But the free gift of Jesus, what he offers is life. What he offers you and me is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. We're going to look at one more verse here in closing. I call this, no works, only Jesus. No works, only Jesus. There's so many passages we could look at for this, but we're going to look at this passage here in Galatians 2. Remember what's going on in Galatians, the book of Galatians? The gospel was kind of on the firing line. Some people who were saying that you had to do all these things plus faith in Jesus to be saved. That's a false gospel. There's nothing you and I can do. There's no amount of, well, let me just pretty myself up a little bit and then I'll present myself to Jesus. See, I got no way to pretty myself up. I'm a lost sinner in and unto myself. All I can do is in my spiritually bankrupt state, all I can do is cry out in faith to the Lord Jesus and let him save me, heal me, change me, clean me up, make me different. So the gospel was under fire here because somebody was preaching a false gospel that included, well, here's what I bring to the table, you know, plus what Jesus has done. Nope. It's no works, just Jesus, only Jesus. Here's what we read in Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, what he's referring to here is the Old Testament code, the Mosaic Law. Remember the Mosaic Law? It wasn't just 10. Right, we think of the top 10, we call them the 10 commandments. There were 613 commands in the Mosaic Code. Folks, that's a lot. And I'm just going to be straight with you. You know that big 10? I'm guilty on all counts. I'm guilty on all counts. You ever heard of Ray Comfort? Ray Comfort, he's an evangelist. I really like the way he does what the Bible says the law is for. The Bible tells us that the purpose of the law can never make anybody righteous because nobody can keep the law. Again, when we get back into Genesis 12, you're going to see Abraham face planting. The purpose of the law was to show us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. The purpose of the law was to show you and me, right? Not just the Jews back then, here today. So here's the deal. I have lied. This is not hypothetical. I have lied. What's that make me? A liar, a sinner. Okay, that's just one, right? I've borne false witness. That's just one of the 10, okay? So that means I need a Savior. I need someone who can deal with my sin problem because I have no recourse. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm stuck. So what the Holy Spirit through Paul says here to these early followers in Galatia is that nobody can be justified. You could never follow the law enough to be declared righteous by keeping the law because you can't keep the law. It's that simple. So he goes on. He says, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. There's that word again. We've seen that word faith or belief come up repeatedly. We've only looked at a few verses, and yet we continually see this. It's the same as Abraham. Same for us today. God is calling you and me not to do more things. Because no matter how many more good things I do, nothing can take away my sin. Nothing I can do can take away my sin. But there is something that can take away my sin, isn't there? Jesus. What Jesus Christ did on the cross and the fact that he was raised up to new life, him put to my account, takes my sin out of the way. When I welcome Jesus' payment on the cross for my sin, he justifies me. He declares me righteous. Not because I've got it all figured out. Not because I'm walking perfectly. But because he obeyed perfectly. And he's now been put to my account. It's like when the Father looks down from heaven and he looks at me He doesn't see my sin. What he sees is the shed blood of his son Jesus that covers me. And praise the Lord, Jesus saves sinners like me. He goes on, he says, no man is justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. He's just spelling out so plainly, right, that there's not a good work that I can do. What I do is I put my faith in Jesus and his perfect obedience to the law. He says we can't be saved by our works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Jesus was raised for your justification. Jesus was raised up so that you and I, sinners, just regular old run-of-the-mill sinners, so that you and I could be raised up to new life ourselves. That's justification. Have you been justified? I want you to think about that. I want to be careful. You know, I got to tell you, I really appreciate Jesse Cook gave a testimony of kind of being raised up in the church and, you know, the idea of praying a prayer, but he'd never turned away from his sin and turned to Jesus. And we got to be careful that we don't fall into that same trap. You say, well, gosh, you know, Mike, I read my Bible and I come to church and, you know, I do some good things. That's not the same thing as trusting Jesus for salvation. And we've got to be clear about that. Are you justified? Has what Jesus did on the cross been put to your account? The only way you can do that, the only way that happens is when you or I turn away from our faith, turn away from our sin, turn away from ourselves, and by faith turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. You alone can save. Will you take my sin away? And if you'll turn your heart to him. Remember, it's not a prayer that saves. Prayer doesn't save. Jesus saves. Are you justified? So really quickly, as I close here, believer, are you rejoicing? Because here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus like I am, you have reason to rejoice that Jesus Christ was raised up so that you could be declared righteous. That should stay crazy in your mind. You should never get over it. And if you're tempted to get over it, repent quickly and say, Jesus, let the sweetness of your salvation for a lost sinner like me, Lord, let it wash me, let it reign over me. Lord, let me live right here. Let me revel in the sweetness of what you have done for me and how you've given yourself to me. That's the way to not become complacent, right? Remember the pit from which you have been digged, as it were. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, if you're watching online and you're not a follower of Jesus yet, the only way to peace with God. Remember, I asked, we looked at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. The only way for you to have peace, the real peace that surpasses understanding, is to rest your soul in what Jesus Christ has done for you, to rest yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the only way that you and I can have real peace with God, turning away from our sin and self, trusting in him. Will you pray with me? Let's seek the Lord together. Father, we're looking to you. We praise you and thank you that you have given us a Savior. Lord, we didn't need some penny ante, namby-pamby. Lord, we didn't need some kind of a halfway. Lord, what we needed was radical rebirth. What we need is utter salvation. Lord, because our sin is great and you are holy. Lord, thank you so much that you sent your only Son to pay the price for all of sinful humanity so that any of us who would entrust ourselves to Jesus would know life and peace and joy and rest that we can find nowhere else, because nobody else paid the price for my sin. We praise you and thank you that you save sinners like all of us. Lord, I pray again for the believers here, for all of us here trusting Jesus, that you would move us, that you would overwhelm us, Lord, with gratitude, with joy, that when you raised up your Son, it was for our justification. And Lord, I pray for all the folks here that are not trusting Jesus. Lord, all those that are watching online that are not trusting Jesus, Lord, would you draw them to yourself through Jesus? Would you woo them with your awesome love, with your truth? Lord, would you draw them to yourself through the only Savior, your Son, Jesus? Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.